Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
As part of our home series, I wanted to talk to you all about adoption and fostering. And as I tried to think of where that fitted in the diagram that we've been using, I thought about the stories of friends of mine who have adopted and fostered, and I have watched them bless, nurture and launch precious children that they have welcomed in. So I'm going to be cheeky and say that my focus fits in all three. And so as I begin this message, I want to start by saying that I realise there are many people who are intimately acquainted with adoption. You might have been adopted or fostered yourself. You may have adopted or fostered a child. Perhaps you were raised in a family with other children coming to stay. Perhaps adoption and fostering are maybe not something that you have any experience of, but we each have our stories which are important. And today I just wanted to have a think together about how adoption fits with God's heart for his people. We are so blessed here at BCV to be part of a community where there are many adoptive and foster families, and I want us to celebrate that and so be very encouraged. Trevor and I, we always talked about adopting and fostering, even from before we were married. And not long after our youngest daughter was born, we joined a life group that was set up by our dear, dear friends, Alex and Keely. And in this group, we all read the book Home for Good by Krish Kandaya. Now, I'm just going to tell you, this book should probably come with a warning, but I mean that in a really good way. Because you see, for us, it was both brilliant and dangerous in equal measure. We had just had a new baby, and at that stage in our family life, we went to the group more just because we were thinking about how we could better support families in our church who were already opening their homes to lots of children. And you can probably guess where this is going. I can honestly tell you that in that season, it was like every single poster that I saw at a bus shelter or article that I read seemed to be about the huge need for people to step up as foster carers. And then this next thing happened. I visited a local like Mums and Tots group to talk about parenting. And at this group, I met this girl who I hadn't seen for years and years. It was so lovely to be reconnected with her. And at that time, she was fostering teenagers and she had small children of her own. And then the next week, I was doing my shopping in Tesco's when who should I meet but this same girl again. I bumped into her again. And when I was there, she told me that their social worker had just been on the phone to them to say that there was a baby in the Ulster Hospital who had just been born, and could they have her to stay with them? Now, my friend was pretty heartbroken because on this occasion they had to say no. They already had teenagers in the house, they had their own children, and they just knew that in that season it wasn't the right decision at all for their family. So fast forward another week, I had invited her over to my house for coffee, and there we were sitting in my living room having the coffee, and her phone rang, and it was the social worker again to ask about that same little baby who was still in the hospital, still being looked after by the nurses a week later because they couldn't find a family who had capacity to have her stay. And I was totally broken. And I looked at my own little baby, and in that moment I just thought, we could have her. You know, we could have that little one in our home. We had the equipment, and I just was thinking, bring her here. And it was like God allowed me to see that happen. And if you're having a heart reaction to that story like I did, I would say pay attention to what God is speaking to you, because it was like God let me see that conversation to kickstart something in my heart that I could never again shake. And so the next week, Trevor and I invited Melanie from Home for Good over to our house. The first thing that we realised was that our house was too small. We needed a spare room. And so some months later, we watched with excitement and nerves as the for sale sign went up. We knew that God was asking us to do this, and that the only way we could say yes to fostering was to move outside of Belfast so that we could afford that house with the extra spare room. And some days we felt like we were crazy. You know, we talked about what we would do if we had made that big move and we weren't successful in applying. You know, would we look totally silly to our friends and family for making that leap without actually knowing if we'd even be approved? But every time doubt crept in, we kind of took a deep breath and told ourselves that if we weren't approved, God must have another plan to use our home for radical hospitality, because we just had this feeling that he was in this. So we moved into our house at the end of January 2020, just before the pandemic hit. And we loved hearing our two girls giving tours of their new home and pointing to the extra bedroom and telling people that it was for a foster child that we hadn't met yet. And so February came and we made the phone call to social services and the real journey began. The question that Melanie asked us was the same first question that the lady who answered the phone asked us when we made that first call. Have you got a spare room? And then whenever a social worker phoned back to arrange our next meeting again, the same question, she was like, thanks for getting in touch, guys. Great to chat to you. Just checking before we go any further, have you got a spare bedroom? Do you have a spare room? Do you have a spare room? Do you have a spare room? That's the all-important question. And as I was preparing this talk, I felt the Father sharing something of his heart with me on that very topic of spare rooms that I would like us to consider as a church. This is what Jesus says to his friends in John chapter 14. I want you to imagine the context. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room at the meal that John describes in chapter 13 just before, celebrating the Passover. Jesus had washed their feet. He had predicted his betrayal and Judas has left the meal. And so here we are in chapter 14 where he is comforting them after telling them that he is soon to be leaving them. So let's read verses 1 to 6 together. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to them, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The images that these verses put in my mind are funny. Sometimes I would imagine, you know, that Jesus is back up in heaven getting rooms ready for us, very much like you or I would if we were getting a room ready for a guest to stay. But of course, that's not what's going on here. Exactly. The old translations, they say, my Father's house has many mansions. Many abodes or many residences might be a better translation. Jesus is telling us about the roominess, about the spaciousness of his Father's house, that there's always space for more. And when he says he's going to prepare a place for us, he's talking, of course, about his death on the cross. When he goes to the cross, he's going to secure our eternity. And Jesus is saying, I want all these people that I have been given to come and be with me. Heaven is a place where there is room. In God's house, there's a room for everyone who needs one. There's plenty of room with God. And this passage caused me to wonder, could our good experiences of home here on earth, whether in our own homes or in welcoming homes that we have stayed in, be just a little foretaste of a better home in the future? Could the way in which we use our earthly homes demonstrate God's heart of having a place where there's always room for other people? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says this: "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." There's this amazing article you can find online by a lady called Barbara Rainey from Family Life, and it's called "Your Home is an Embassy," and it really resonated with me. She suggests that if Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ, could we take that a step further and therefore begin to think of our homes as being embassies? An embassy, what is an embassy? An embassy is like a tiny piece of the home country that's on foreign soil. So when people come to visit you in your home, they're not just coming into your home, but they're coming into the embassy of the King whose reign covers your home. God can use our homes to give people a little taste of the Father's house. By telling us that we are ambassadors for Christ, God is asking us to live in such a way as to show people what he is like. Could the rooms in our homes and how we use them be pointing towards these rooms or residences that Jesus talks about in heaven, where we all belong? Barbara Rainey goes on to talk about how early church Christians felt so strongly about home as a place of belonging that in the 6th century, St. Benedict included in his Rule of Monasteries instructions about the way visitors should be greeted. Let me read his instructions for welcoming people to you. "The porter," that's like the doorkeeper, the person who would answer the door, "needs a room near the entrance so that visitors will always find him there to answer them. As soon as anyone knocks or a poor man calls out, he replies, 'Thanks be to God,' or else, 'Your blessing, please.' And then with all the gentleness that comes from the fear of God, he provides a prompt answer with the warmth of love." So in a nutshell, here's what happened. Someone stood guard at the door at all times, even sleeping nearby, so that they could respond, whatever they are, to greet a guest. Whenever a guest showed up, the porter was to shout out, "Thanks be to God," or else shout out, "Your blessing, please," because every new arrival was considered to be a person who carried a blessing. The greeting that they received declared that they were a gift from God who had just arrived. Every person who arrived was told, "We're so grateful that God has brought you to us." How could they not have the sense of having arrived at just the place that they were meant to be? There was plenty of room for them. That was the message. As anyone who is willing to open their door to guests will relate to, especially carers who might never quite know when a new little person will arrive to stay, it is the privilege of the doorkeeper to live on the edge of expectancy, just knowing that the next guest to arrive is sure to bring a blessing that we are not to miss. I don't think I'll ever forget the day that we got the phone call asking us if our first little foster child could come to live with us. We're totally new to this, you know, so we didn't know what to expect. And we'd spent the weeks before nervously excited every time the phone would ring, living on that edge of expectancy. Would this little one fit well into our family? Would they settle in? Did we really have what was needed, what it takes? All the questions, the hopes and the fears. And then came the day when he arrived and he ran straight into Trevor's arms and I heard Trevor telling him, "We've waited a long time for you, little one." He was a blessing. We have good days. And honestly, we have some really brittle days as we've all had to learn to adjust to each other. But we knew that as he stepped through the front door of our home, whatever the outcome, however long he was to stay, He was a gift from God. I remember being at a Home for Good event for church leaders who wanted to better support adoptive and foster families. And a teenage boy who had been adopted stood with his parents at the front to tell his story. He talked about arriving with his parents and his forever family, and then he said this to us. He said, "Well, as we're all Christians, there's not really much more to say. God has already adopted the whole lot of us, and so it's hardly rocket science to work out what we need to do." Romans 8 says this: "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Ours is a story of adoption. God has adopted you. He paid a price to take us in. He planned your adoption from before time began. He decided that you would be his child. You're no longer a slave. When the enemy comes to bring you fear, God's message over you is, "No, this child is mine." The God of the universe says to us, "You can call me Father. You have my inheritance. You belong to me." He sought you out. What did I do to get adopted by God? Nothing. He chose me. I was lost, but now I belong to an eternal family. The very foundation of adoption and fostering is found in the reality of the God of the universe adopting us humans. It's at the heart of the gospel. If anyone in the world should be passionate about caring for children in need of a family, it should be those who know that they themselves have been adopted by the Father. Every 15 minutes, a child in the UK comes into care. For the most part, these precious little ones have endured massive trauma. Could it be that our church could care for some of these children, that the world would know that he is the Father? God did not leave us as orphans. Could we, the church, say to even a few children in our city who need a family, who need a home, "We will not leave you as orphans. In my Father's house, there are many rooms." Perhaps some of that space, some of those spare rooms, are already here within our BCV community. Could we as a community make our church a home for children from these difficult backgrounds, either by providing homes or by wrapping around those whom God is calling to do this? The Bible is full of calls to God's people to worship him through caring for the excluded, the poor and the vulnerable, and especially for children who are caught up in those circumstances. There are at least 40 times in the Bible where specifically it refers to God's concern for orphans or the fatherless. God makes clear his unchanging desire that his people should look out for the lowest and the least. Psalm 82 verse 3 exhorts God's people to defend the weak and the fatherless, just as he himself does. Deuteronomy 10 verse 18 tells us he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And then the same message is right there in the New Testament. James tells us, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Caring about vulnerable children is important to us in BCV because it is important to God. Caring for the poor and the marginalised, the fatherless, it's not something reserved for heroes of the faith. It's a basic part of Christian discipleship. The Bible shows us that it is what God calls us to do as his followers. He wants to be known as father to the fatherless, as a protector to the vulnerable, and as his children and heirs. We need to understand that this is BCV family business. There are vulnerable children waiting for homes right here in on our doorsteps. As Krish Kandaya says, looking after children in need is a vital way in which we mirror God's character to a watching world, a visible metaphor of God's love for us. And I love that we are a community that takes responsibility. Jesus didn't come to this earth and look at all the pain and brokenness around him and say, here guys, this mess down here, you are on your own. Jesus saw the brokenness, which wasn't of his own doing, and he took responsibility. He went to the cross. BCV, we have a choice. There's brokenness in our city. Children and teenagers in crisis waiting for homes. Brokenness that might not be of our own making, but we still can take responsibility. Could we be a part of God's plan to make sure that even some of our children who need homes in our little corner of the world have a stable family? Could there be even one more child in this city who never has to worry again that they will have a permanent home because of this community? Let's be a church who are willing to stand up in a crisis because we understand the story of adoption is at our core. Let each of us ask the Lord right now, what would you have me do? And like us, back when we heard the story of the tiny baby in the hospital without a home to go to, maybe God's burning something on your heart right now. And if that's you, perhaps you can get in touch with me, you can email me. I'd love to have a coffee with you and pray with you. I believe that God is calling us all to consider our role in this. Some of you already know that perhaps even since you were small, God has shown you his heart for this. Others of you, you're not in a position to adopt or foster, but your heart's burning all the same. And there is so much that you can do to wrap around our foster and adoptive families here in BCV. Early on in our journey, dear friends of ours told us that although they weren't in a position to foster themselves, what they could do was that they could drop our teenager home from youth throughout the summer and take her out for hot chocolates to see how she's doing. You could take a child from a family who are adopting or fostering to their music lessons each week. You could make a meal for a family. Perhaps you could be available to find equipment for a family who have found out that a child is arriving without much notice. You could commit to praying for a family every week and text them. You could go through the process to be vetted as a babysitter to help a foster family out. You could serve in kids ministry where we have children from all different backgrounds, or even just decide to be so intentional about welcoming these precious children when they come on a Sunday. But I would probably say that just being there for parents and carers in those seasons when households are at times less predictable, less conventional, is best of all. Come over for a cuppa, even when it feels all a wee bit mad, because it's so good to look up and see your church family is with you in the changes and in the celebration. There's no better context for fostering and adoption than families who are supported well by their church. Fostering and adoption is an opportunity for children in our city who are at risk of being constantly just kept on the periphery, pushed to the edge throughout their lives to get to experience not just the welcome of a stable home, but the welcome and the acceptance of an entire church family. I love that part in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe when Lucy first arrives in Narnia and Mr. Tumnus asks her where she came from. I felt the Lord speaking to me from this wee passage as I was praying about what he would have me say. Let me read it to you. "I got in through the wardrobe in the spare room," said Lucy. "Ah," said Mr. Tumnus in a rather melancholy voice, "if only I'd worked harder at geography when I was a little fawn, I should no doubt know all about those strange countries. But it is too late now." "But they aren't countries at all," said Lucy, almost laughing. "It's only just back there. At least, I'm not sure. It is summer there." "Meanwhile," said Mr. Tumnus, "it is winter in Narnia and has been for ever so long, and we shall both catch a cold if we stand here talking in the snow. Daughter of Eve, from the far land of Spare Oom, where eternal summer reigns around the bright city of Wardrobe, how would it be if you came and had tea with me? One day we will be in the Father's house where there are many rooms, but for now, we are living and following Jesus in the land of spare rooms. I wonder how many spare rooms between us we have here within our BCV community. I wonder, could God use our spare rooms to be a small reflection of what heaven might be like? Could we make the very most of the homes that we have now to worship the one who is most interested in where we all live whenever we leave this world? Can our actions here on earth, here in the land of spare rooms, point towards the many, many rooms where there is space for everyone? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Jesus is saying, I'm going to take you to my Father's house and it will be your home too. You're part of the family. You'll be home where you belong. I don't believe that God is calling each and every single one of us to foster or adopt, but I do believe he is asking us all to be deeply invested in this. I believe that God is asking us to be a community, to be a generation of responsibility takers. Let each of us be brave and ask him now, what can I do with what I have, where I am now, that I might show people even a taste of what home really is on earth as in heaven? Let me finish by praying for us. Yeah, Father God, I pray that you would help us to be a church community who do whatever we can to love children in our city or beyond who need a loving and a secure home. Lord, would you make it so clear to each one of us today what we specifically need to do so that we can wrap around children who are in need here in Northern Ireland and in the rest of the world. Amen. Guys, thank you for listening to that. And if any of you have caught something of God's heart and would like to chat, I would dearly love to hear from you. I hope you have a great week and that I see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.